Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my soul maiden life, Reverend Sheila Crawford, who loves to share God's Word, especially in eschatology.
Erev Tov to you all, and we pray you will be blessed by this, another meaty study over the next few weeks from the book of Jude. But first, we strongly urge those who have not been redeemed, or maybe you're not sure, to pause for a moment and commit your life to Christ, or recommit by personally inviting Jesus into your heart. Because Jude, although few words, can be a heavy chapter in some places. So we need to be sure the Holy Spirit resides in you, so you will receive a clearer comprehension. After all, I'm only a human vessel, but who desires to stir you up.
So says 2 Peter chapter 1.
Oh, yes, he does. Because you all know it's the Holy Spirit who's the real teacher. So tonight, let's change the venue a little and open with the prayer of salvation. Please bow your hearts at home and make this your personal prayer.
Lord Jesus, I recognize you as the Savior of the world and repent for my sinful ways. I invite you, Lord Jesus, at this very moment to dwell within me, body, soul, and spirit. Come into my heart, endow me with your Holy Spirit, and wash me clean. I want to be your bride and live forever with you in your soon coming kingdom. We pray this in your name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. If you truly meant that from your heart, you will be for sure included in his kingdom. It's really just that simple. Also, as it says in Luke 21, you will escape the horrible judgment coming upon the earth soon. Now, bathe yourself in his word, which will draw you closer to him. And that should be your goal, to get as close to Jesus as you can.
And his word will also apply the armor you must have to resist the devil's temptation.
Oh, yeah, as it says in Ephesians 6.
What's in the recent news?
Okay, jumping right in. We'll begin with Israel as they continue their Jenin operation after unearthing like around 550 extra powerful Palestinian bombs.
And where is Jenin?
Well, it's at the northern tip of the West Bank, or actually Samaria. And Israel says the objective of its operation is to uproot Iranian-backed Palestinian factions. In this case, particularly the Jenin Brigades, due to their recent surge in gun and bomb attacks, as well as their preliminary efforts to make rockets. And it became even more obvious last week that Biden's disdain for Netanyahu is certainly there. And he said to a CNN reporter that Israel's current government is one of the most extreme in 50 years. Biden's remark came in response to a question as to why Netanyahu has not yet been invited to the White House. Now, if you recall, the President Biden had previously said he would not invite Netanyahu because of his government's judicial reform plan in March, but has now been revised.
Probably to appease Biden.
And his left, for they have them there too. However, many protesters are still on the streets complaining that his revisions are not enough. Anyhow, this time Biden answered by pointing out, he said, well, President Herzog of Israel is expected to visit here on July 19th. And Biden also said he thinks Biden is trying to, or excuse me, Bibi, is trying to work through his existing problems in terms of his coalition, as in his cabinet's extreme positions relating to the Palestinians.
Well, sure, because Biden believes in a two-state solution.
Oh, as all Dems do. Anyhow, Biden is in Lithuania this week after first visiting the King of England to discuss the climate. But today's at the NATO summit, discussing cluster bombs and NATO membership, but we'll do more on all of that next week.
And Iran is in the news.
Oh, yeah, by acting up in the Gulf of Oman, recently hitting two of our oil tankers with bullets, but our Navy then repelled them, so avoiding their siege.
Oh, what will Biden do about this?
Well, probably not much. And by the way, it's not the first time this kind of bullying has happened on his watch. Also, our Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen, she went to China last week and actually bowed down multiple times to a Chinese official, which Americans never do. And it gives China the optics that they just truly love, that they are superior to us. And that's really what she's saying. Yellen then said the meeting was good and puts us on a surer footing and will strengthen our communications.
Oh, really? You know, I think China has been communicating quite well lately.
Point taken.
But you also have some good news.
Yes. Although they are trying to appeal, last week Biden officials have been ordered by a federal judge to stop contacting social media companies to demand the censorship of speech that they certainly did during the 2020 campaigns. As well, the Supreme Court ruled against affirmative action. In other words, establishments can no longer show partiality to certain races or gender identity in what they call diversity or equity instead of on one's merit.
That we call equality.
Amen. Also, people now have the right to refuse to make any specialty item that goes against our religion, you know, like concerning the sodomites, etc., or participating in an event or officiating at a wedding, for example, for the gay lifestyle. So, praise the Lord.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office. Leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are very much appreciated, and all correspondence will automatically add you to our newsletter list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find years of our past radio and teaching letters all archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, let's open to the book of Jude.
Who was also the Lord's earthly brother.
Yes, he was. Written around 80 A.D., so Jude was about that age as well.
Therefore, having much wisdom by this time.
I'd say so. We call the book of Jude the vestibule of the book of Revelation, which, as you know, we just studied, and it's on our webpage if you want to re-listen to it. Jude has a very timely message for the last generation, but unfortunately, a neglected book, at least doing a verse-by-verse study. Perhaps because of the fallen angels of verses 6 and 7, where many pastors are reluctant to go.
So we will.
And we will, because it is pertinent that the whole Bible be taught to include these topics, or they wouldn't be in there.
Last week's program on the little G gods ties in with Jude as well.
For sure. By the way, as you will soon see, and this is an important point, Jude at first was about to write on the subject of salvation, but was then compelled by the Holy Spirit to write about other certain matters like apostasy, false dogma.
Which has certainly reached a peak today.
Yes, and 2 Peter also warns of false teachers. But Jude deals more with their arrival, their influencers, and visits the beginning, and some past judgments on Israel and some pretty strange beings.
and their return.
And what might also catch your attention is how Jude seems so nonchalant with his pretty heavy information, as if it was just a well-known common thought to speak on it, and to those who would read his letter.
Just so matter-of-factly.
But then you could say Moses did that too, like in Genesis 6. Kind of makes you wonder why today the fallen angels and what they did is such a taboo and covered up subject, even in the church, as if we couldn't handle it.
Well, obviously, God wants us to know.
And he made sure Jude spoke on it and placed his writings just before Revelation, sort of like a preamble of his final warning of a coming judgment.
Which Satan does not want anyone to know.
Or that he even exists. And there are still some today that don't believe the devil is real at all.
And that's just how he likes it.
Anyhow, always keep Acts 17:11 as your prerequisite to check out what we tell you. Because again, our calling is just to stir you up to do your own homework. For that's how you personally grow.
Right. We are just like the fertilizer.
Amen. You will also notice that Jude opens his letter by giving assurance to the Christian and then also closes the letter by assuring the Christian.
I like that.
And we'll soon understand why he does that. So let's read verse 1.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who were called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ.
Okay, so right away, Jude shows humility.
You know, he could have said half-brother of Jesus.
Right, he could have bragged, but chose not to. Interesting that neither Jude nor his brother James were part of the 12 apostles.
Why do you think?
Because those of his family were not really believers till after his death. So Jude begins his letter by clarifying that first we answer God's call because it's always one's choice to become justified. Then we proceed in the process of complete sanctification of spirit, soul, and body.
And we know that happens only through time spent in his word.
Yes, John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your word. So it's the word that sanctifies and keeps you sanctified. Never lose sight of that.
And Paul confirmed that as well in 1 Thessalonians 5.
Yes, in verse 23, he said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's continue in Jude verse 2.
Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you.
That was the formal common greeting back then. Nice if that was still common today. Anyhow, Jude begins with mercy, which is fitting for the context of this letter.
Paul usually begins his letters with grace.
Right. The difference between the two is grace is getting something you don't deserve. But mercy, it's not getting what you do deserve. Also, you seldom see peace as the first word of a letter because it must follow grace or mercy. Because without that, you can't have peace. Also, the word here for love is agape, the highest and best kind, as in God's love for us. When we pray, we should tell God that we agape him. I just don't say love anymore, because there are four different Greek words for love, and the New Testament was originally written in Greek, not Hebrew.
For that was the common language of the day.
Right, so they could all read it. Besides agape, there's another word for love, and it's philia.
Just means a close friendship.
And eros is the erotic or lustful kind of love. And then there's one more.
Storge.
Yes, it's a family love of acceptance. Have you ever heard the expression, you gotta love him, he's family? That's storge. But agape love is our Christian identity badge.
John 13:34 says, we are to agape one another.
And that's a whole lot of love. Okay, verse 3.
Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary.
And by the way, necessary, number 318 in your Strong's, is anke, meaning Jude was compelled.
To write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Once and for all delivered to the saints.
As we said, it's interesting that Jude wanted us to know that this letter was God's imperative will. And Holy Spirit redirected Jude's thoughts to the importance of telling us to contend earnestly for our faith. And who was Jude writing to?
The beloved.
Mm-hmm. Meaning true believers, which is why we prayed the prayer of salvation at the beginning of this program. Regardless of your Christian denomination, you must still personally invite Jesus into your heart.
So says John, Gospel, chapter 3.
And some might need to recommit to a deeper relationship. Okay, we've established the theme.
Contend for your biblical faith.
Yes. Correct and reprove when it's obvious error, and in agape love, speak the truth using the word as your compass. And we'll see Jude getting specific in the next verse.
But first, explain the difference between a false teacher and an apostate.
Okay. A false teacher teaches error, like the kingdom's already here, or there's no rapture, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't for today, you know, that kind of stuff, but doesn't deny that Jesus is God or was born of a virgin or denies the Trinity.
So can still be saved because he maintains the fundamentals of our faith.
Yes, but an apostate would say, well, I'm not sure Jesus is actually God, but rather created to be his prophet. Or, Jesus didn't pay for all our sins, just some of them. Or, there are other ways to heaven. Or, Jesus is the best or easiest way, but not the only way.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm, that's a big one these days. Or they might use the claim of receiving additional revelation, not backed up by the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons come to mind. And actually today there's many more. But you get the idea. So we must contend, therefore must be equipped when you are needed. And by the way, if you hide from the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, you are lacking in the equipment department. Because faith is also acting on your belief. So if you need more faith, increase your Bible time.
Romans 10:17.
Right. Jude's next verse confirms what we just said about apostasy and shows the purpose in why he wrote this letter. Verse 4.
For certain men have crept in unnoticed.
That's called infiltrators, which is Satan's MO.
Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, God always knew who they were. Ungodly men who turn or pervert the grace of our God into lewdness, as in justified, unbridled lust. And, of course, immorality. Like some people say today, oh, God understands. This is the 21st century. Besides, everyone's doing it.
Like sex without marriage.
It's called fornication. And it's still a grievous sin. How many of us Christians call that out today? And there are those who have crept in and deny who Christ really is. You know, like the tares who infiltrated the wheat in the parable of the sower?
Exactly. Matthew 13.
And 2 Timothy 3:5 says, some have the form of godliness, but deny its power. In other words, they don't really believe it.
So, not saved.
Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking? Really looking? You know, Hebrews 9:28 says, to be anxiously awaiting him, and there's a special crown waiting for those who are.
2 Timothy 3:8.
Okay, Jude 5, 6, and 7 deals with a trio of different groups of people, Israel, fallen angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and we'll get more into all that next week. But verse 5 reads as this.
But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe.
Remember the golden calf incident? They worshipped it. And that was after God parted the Red Sea and gave them the Ten Commandments and states to have no other gods. And in fact, don't even make any image or bow down to it, for I am a jealous God. But they became impatient and did it anyways. Then someone said, well, let's do it. It's okay. So they followed, and even Aaron, Moses' brother, let them have their way. So they compromised their faith. When Moses returned, God gave the order to the Levites and destroyed 3,000 men.
God doesn't fool around.
That is so right, and judgment is coming. Be sure to pray to God alone, but in the name of his son, Jesus. And think hard about this. Do you find yourself compromising his word? Do you know someone who is living together outside of marriage? Do you least lovingly speak truth to them? Even if you feel they won't pay any attention to you, God sees that you are at least trying. And he writes it all down in his book of remembrance, Malachi 3:16. And someday he'll open that book and show you when you did not compromise, as he rewards us when we get to heaven. We'll continue in Jude next week. You might want to brush up and read Genesis 6, 1 through 12, because Matthew 24 says, but as in the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. So, how were those days? Genesis 6 says all flesh had been corrupted, except Noah and his family. It doesn't say sinless, for that is impossible. Is there a deeper meaning to the word corrupted? We'll look at that next week. So, precious ones, in case you missed the beginning of this program and are now listening but have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, do it right now, because Christ suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. He paid your entire debt for your sins, so no need for purgatory. He said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and is knocking. If you are hearing his voice, he says, open the door, and I will come into you and will dine with you and you with me. I know you hear his voice as he's knocking right now, but he won't crash in. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of this forever true love story, written in blood on a wooden cross, erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.